Morning, my name is Penny Moises and I'm the founder of the Clean and Tidy Home Show. And on today's tea break, I'm going to be joined, get my words out, by the lovely Suzanne Roynan, who is an interiors therapist who you may have seen at the show last year or perhaps joined us on a live before. So I'm just going to let Suzanne in. Bear with me one moment.
Good morning. Good morning. Hopefully I've pressed the right button. And we'll be joined. There we are. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I can't see you, but I can see me.
Surprisingly, I can see you, which hasn't happened on the last few lives I've done. So technology got it right on one end.
Well, we're getting something right. It is so lovely to see you, Penny. Thank you for inviting me on.
And you, no, thank you. I was just saying before I let you into the live that some people may remember you from last year at the show. You did some lovely sessions for us and told us all about interiors therapy, which I'm really excited about. I must mention that you are also an author of this amazing book, which I always have super, super handy on my bookshelf. But let's dive straight into it. Do you want to tell us a bit more about what interiors therapy is for anybody who perhaps doesn't know or needs a little refresher?
For sure. So interiors therapy is like decluttering on steroids, basically. It's a five-step process, which means that we look at, first and foremost, everything that you've got around the house. You know, is it helping you? And this isn't about what you might traditionally call clutter, you know, the Tupperware in the cupboard or the bits and pieces under the sink that you're not using. This is everything. It's how you're responding to it, what impact it's having on you. And then the process goes on to do some clearing, cleaning, organizing, and then we go into my favorite bit, which is the feng shui, and we rebalance the energy in a home to make it really supportive to everybody who lives there. And I love it.
I love that. And I just totally love the holistic approach. We've been talking so much this month about life happens, so anything and everything that can just be kind of thrown in the mix in life in its truest form, and I just wondered how that resonated with you.
It really does. So I was living in a much, much bigger place on the other side of the town. And, you know, my daughter was moving away and it was like, well, let's move somewhere that's sort of more compact and bijou that suits me. So I saw these amazing apartments. I thought, right, I'm going to go and live over there. And as is the way, once your energy is sorted out, when you decide you want to do something, you know, the universe kind of conspires to make it happen. That's a great thing about interior therapy. So I got this apartment and it was really, really lovely. Lovely, but everything started going wrong, and I couldn't understand that because, as a feng shui professional, I'd done the feng shui, and this wasn't making sense to me. And what I realized that was that being an apartment as opposed to a house, the feng shui energy was very different, and I had to then look at it from a traditional perspective rather than the Western perspective I've been looking at for years. And, you know, I got this traditional report done, and then suddenly everything changed. It went from sort of wading through treacle into everything being in flow. And that's when the book was written and my daughter got engaged. Everything went beautifully. And it was a real case of life happens. It stopped me in my tracks for a couple of months while I was wondering what on earth had gone wrong. And then I sorted it and then retrained actually in traditional feng shui because I could see that, you know, this was blowing the roof off anything I'd done before. And so it gave me a complete change in life and lifestyle. And I'm so pleased it happened.
Can you give us some of those examples of the things that you either had to change or perhaps some of the nuances or things that really opened your mind to the way that you now needed to adjust to live?
For sure. So with Western feng shui, which is the one which uses just the front door to tell you where each of your feng shui areas are, it's very, very simple. It's very generic and it works to a degree, and I thought it worked really well. You know, I was so impressed with what I used to do with it. When I went to traditional feng shui, and that uses remedies which are to do with the elements, and because every home is unique, depending on when it was built, the layout of it, and also what you are looking for, there are specific remedies which go only to your home. That might be earth, it might be water, it could be wood or metal or fire. And when I talk about fire, that's the colour, not the colours of fire, reds, hot pinks, and sort of burgundies and some purples. If you put those remedies in the wrong places, it'll backfire. If you put them in the right places, it is like everything is supercharged. Everything feels so much better and things just kind of fit. You get lucky, I suppose, is the way you would describe it. You start realizing you're living in a lucky house as opposed to an unlucky one.
I love it. I love it. So in terms of perhaps some feelings or some of the things that that we might get when we're ready to make change or adjustments in our life, perhaps because of milestones or things that are happening. But are there any signs from our home that we should be looking out for that we are ready to make some adjustments in what we're doing, or perhaps what we're currently doing is not, serving us as well as it could do?
Well, I always say go with your gut feeling. So if there's something around your home that you're looking at and you're thinking, I just don't like this, this isn't me, or I'm not sure why I've got this, or you notice it brings your emotions down, even for a fraction of a second when you look at it, it might be a photograph, it might be a piece of art, it might be a gift that you've been given. If something is bringing you down in any way, it is not supporting you, and it's not just that it's maybe not looking quite right, it's not supporting you at a subconscious level. And that is huge, because if your subconscious is bringing you down, that's going to affect you in all kinds of ways. So don't treat your home just as, you know, I've got these beautiful decor items. You know, the Buddha, wow, is such an object that I see in so many places, and everybody's bought it because they think it's going to give them peace and tranquility. But actually, what I find in the homes of my feng shui clients who aren't practicing Buddhists is that they realize that their relationship is not great, their finances are stalling, they might even be celibate. All of these things were embodied in the life of the Buddha, and if you're a practicing Buddhist, you will find a way to deal with those things. But if you are not practicing, if you're not spiritual, then that is going to cause you immense problems. And so I think, you know, if just having a Buddha around you can accidentally just really stall things. And I think, yeah, unless you're a practicing Buddhist, don't have them, is my advice to anybody who is watching. They are not helping you.
Yeah. And so how can we better trust in change, or leave some space for opportunities that life throws at us, right? Because sometimes when life happens, it's not always a negative thing. How can we create more space for that in our home that's kind of manageable? And what would you recommend to your clients?
Well, I think you've got to, first of all, trust that if change is coming along, it's for a very, very good reason. I look back on my life, and it's been quite long now, and all of the changes that I fought against actually were changes for the better. I was kind of being shoved onto a new track, which was going to be so much better for me ultimately, although I didn't believe it. I didn't, you know, every step of the way I fought them. But once I just accepted, it was the right thing to do. And so I think there is that acceptance. But I think also, you know, clear the decks, don't have clutter. Look around your home, notice where clutter gathers, and, you know, talk to me if you wish. Let's get a compass out and work out which part of your home the clutter is sitting in. If you're struggling for finances, then it might be that it's sitting in your southeast. If your relationship is struggling or non-existent, perhaps you're cluttering up your southwest. If your health is bad, let's take a look at your center. You know, we can do all of these things just to lift the energy around you and help you to look forward in a more positive way, no matter what's going on for you.
Love that. And how would you define clutter? So, because I know that there's the idea of kind of minimalism or maximalism is kind of really trendy at the moment. And for a lot of people, they actually find that they like things out, whether it's, you know, memory servicing or otherwise. How do you define clutter? And I suppose, what are we trying to get to? Is it completely clear surfaces, or you know, when does the magic happen for you?
Definitely not. I think anybody who knows me will tell you I am far from minimal. But I do only have things in my home, whether it's in drawers or in the wardrobe or on display, that I use, I need, or I love. And anything that doesn't fit those categories doesn't have house room. It's taking up valuable real estate that I would rather use for something else. Sometimes that might be clear space. I think it always pays to have your bedside cabinets, for example, very, very clear, just your lamps and then nothing else, because I think that adds to quality sleep. It's one of the things that adds to quality sleep. I think also, you've just got to look around you and see, as I said, what impact it has on you. Is there a pile of stuff by the door that you've never got around to taking out that just needs to go out to the trash? Well, do it. Don't hold off and hold off and think, oh, that's somebody else's job, or I'm not going to do that, or I can't be bothered. Just do it. Start taking control of your home, and you will be amazed how quickly you start taking control in other parts of your life. And by taking control, I'm not saying, you're going to be the bossy pants who is everything to everyone. Not at all. It's in your heart, it's in your soul. And if you know that anything you want in your house, you can lay your hands on, even if it's dark. I mean, can you imagine how it feels to be able to get up and, there's a power cut, it's dark outside, you can put your hand in your underwear drawer and know that you're going to get the black panties, the black bra, whatever else you need. You can put your hand in your wardrobe and you know exactly what you're getting out, and it's all going to work. That is how it can be for you. If you have that level of connection and resource within your home, life is just so much easier. When life is easier, everything starts getting easier. Your job, your commute, the family relationships, you can pull it all together in a more simple way. And that, to me, you streamline your life, nice things, there's room for nice things to start happening for you.
So true. Now, how do you take control of your home? Is it something that you're constantly aware of, or can you switch off the interiors therapist in you and then perhaps come to the end of the week or the end of the month? What does it look like? Are you constantly, you use the word connection, which I really loved. Are you constantly connected so that you're always making adjustments? Because it must be quite challenging if it's something you're always thinking about in the work environment as well. I'd love to know.
Well, our home is, I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years. Let's be realistic. I've had some practice. So, on our surfaces, for example, we've only got the things that we love or the things that are practical. I've got a mirror on my dressing table. I've just got, a little bit of makeup there. That is it. Everything else is put away. So, we do not have to work hard to keep our home looking lovely. We can zap a vacuum around once a week. The kitchen surfaces are always clear. If the dishwasher is done, we empty the dishwasher and put anything else in it. There's never a case where things are sitting on surfaces or out of place. They're always put straight away because we all know where the things live. And so we don't create piles, we don't create mess. If the bin's full, we empty it. It's a team. It's not one person's job or the other person's job. We just get it done. And that means that we don't get messed up in the way that other homes do. We don't end up with stacks and piles and confusion. Everything is organized, everything has its place, and that makes life so much easier. We all travel a fair bit. I know that I can pack for a week away in an hour if I need to, probably less if I really thought about it, because everything is always ready to go. So if I'm going to go away and work with a client, if somebody, for example, says to me, I really want to work with you, but I've only got tomorrow and I've got tomorrow free, I'll just say, yeah, sure. And I'll come straight away. And that's how I can work. And it's the way I love to work. I like the spontaneity and the knowledge that I can walk out of here and it looks great and it'll look great when I come back, because we've learned to live that way and it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned about the dishwasher. I remember when we were having a chat the other day, you mentioned about having to adjust your dishwashing regime. Do you just want to talk us through that a little bit?
Well, about a million years ago, I trained as a chef. So I knew that as I worked, I wanted to keep things tidy. You know, I kept my work surface tidy. Once I finished with my pans, I washed them. And so when my mum takes advantage of this for Christmas and Easter and stuff like this, and it's just like, oh, you know, Suzanne, would you do the dinner? So when we sit down for Christmas dinner, all of the counters are clear, all of the pans are washed, you know, it's just like I can sit down for my Christmas dinner and I know that it's only the plates and bowls and glasses that need to go into the dishwasher after dinner, and that's it. I don't have to think about it. There's no tidying for me. But this last couple of times, somebody else has done it, and they work differently. And sitting in this open plan kitchen with all of the pans and the roasting tins and everything, my fingers were itching to just get up and tidy up before we could sit down and enjoy our meals. So, yeah, I think, you know, if you have your standards and your ways of doing things, that your conscious makes life easier for everyone. When you don't see it happening in your own family, it becomes a little harder.
And what would you say? We've got a question here about if it's people you live with or partners that perhaps don't live by the same standards or don't see things or don't react to them as quickly as you do. What would you suggest in that instance?
Well, I always think lead by example, but this is something that it might be worth having a chat with me about, because what I do is I do these little 9-pound walk arounds, and it could be that I will spot something in your home that is almost giving a partner consent or empowering them to live that way as opposed to the way you would prefer them to live. And, you know, once we can get to the bottom of what's going on there and why it's happening, it suddenly becomes an awful lot easier. And, you know, I've trained people a lot along the years. You know, women in the same situation now come to me in absolute despair. But sometimes the guys will come to me in absolute despair because their partners just cannot stay on top of things. And it's a case of, you know, teaching, guiding, showing that things can be so much better if you do it differently. And it becomes then a no-brainer, because why would you not do this stuff if you know it's going to bring you more money, make you feel better, improve your relationship, just help you to communicate more effectively as a couple or as a family? You know, it's just something that you learn it and then it becomes second nature. Interior therapy isn't a fad, it's a lifestyle. And this is why it's just so important to go through the process and understand it. And it's like you get all of these aha moments and the realize that, oh my gosh, you know, that's why this has been happening. Right, okay, well, I can now take steps to stop that happening again.
How, if you've got, so we've got somebody that's just asked, who has chronic health issues, and so if you have, and pets, which I can certainly relate to, so if you have anything like that, additional challenges that perhaps mean that in the moment, so I can even give an example of me leaving the house with my kids and wanting to get them to school on time, it might be that particular thing, I need to come back to you. Have you got any advice in any of those kind of scenarios where perhaps you might just need to come back to it?
Well, just coming back to the chronic health issues, from a feng shui perspective, work out where the centre of your home is and really take a very, very close look at that. What have you got there? What's on the wall? Is this a storage cupboard? Is it cluttered? What is happening in that space? What is your art telling you? If a child looked at whatever you've got on the wall, how would they describe it? Because you might well find that there is an energetic reason for you continuing to struggle. You know, chronic health conditions will always go up and down. There's no question about it. Some of us are born with conditions, and I'm not saying that feng shui will fix that by any stretch of the imagination. But what I am saying is that if you maintain a really great center of your home, you can improve your health and well-being wherever you're at. So that's the first thing to say. Now, remind me of the second part of the question, because I went off on a tangent there.
Ultimately, if you need to come back to something, or actually, just before we dive into that, we've just had a question. What do you mean by centre, the layout centre or the main room used? Very good question.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so with feng shui, if you imagine noughts and crosses or a tic-tac-toe, you know, with the lines, and then you've got the nine spaces. You know what I'm saying there? Does that make sense to you? So imagine your floor plan of your house and draw that tic-tac-toe grid over the top of it. You'll have nine equal areas if your house is a rectangle or a square. If your house is a slightly uneven shape, you might be missing a bit. The center square is where your center would be. And again, you know, jump on a call with me. I can talk it through with you. It's very, very simple and straightforward. But yeah, so coming back to something. Well, first and foremost, when you're living with interior therapy, it becomes a whole lot easier not to have to go off and leave a mess, because it just isn't, you know, you get it much more in tune with where you want to be. However, if the dishwasher's full, you've had to run out, there's all of the bowls, there's Rice Krispies on the floor, anything like that, you've just got to say, okay, right, what else do I need to do? Why am I going out aside from the kids? Do I need to go and get myself a coffee before I come back and tackle this? Because you need to think about your self-care. Self-care is really, really important every step of the way. So you manage it, and then when you come back, you're in a better frame of mind, a better state, and you can whisk it away before you know it. I mean, before I've come on this call, I've done a whole load of stuff, but the last thing I did was sort the dishwasher and put the bits in that were on the top, because I knew that when I came on this call, I wanted to be ready to focus my entire attention on you and the clean and tidy sparkles. So, you know, it's all part of life. My bedroom currently is full of bits of luggage. You know, I'm traveling this weekend. I'm ready to go. But it's there and I'm aware of it. I would be happier if the luggage wasn't there, but it is, and I'm living with it.
That's really interesting. So we've got to wrap up. I know there's lots of, I'm sure, more things we could talk about, which we will find time to in due course. But you offer that people can get in contact with you. So please do follow interiors_therapy and drop over a DM if there's anything in particular. But I'd love you, Suzanne, today to just leave us with a parting thought, whether that's a quote, piece of advice, way to get started, whatever you fancy, but something to leave us with today.
For sure. So Oprah Winfrey, Georgina Rodriguez, George Clooney use feng shui not because they don't have any money or they want their relationships to get better. They use it to make them more successful. So if you're struggling right now, if you're thinking, why am I stuck in this rut? Consider looking at feng shui, because even if you just do the basics, life will get better. So take a note from that. Look at your feng shui. Come and find me if you need to. There are also amazing people. I noticed somebody also incredible is on this live, and another amazing feng shui practitioner. So look at your home and really understand what it's doing and saying for you. And if you want to, choose to make it better.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Always lovely to chat. I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon. And thank you, everybody who tuned in, and have a good rest of the day. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.